This is tape number two, June 12, 1991. Tape number two, conversation with Tony Cuccinello, and he was describing one of his best games at the Polo Ground. Okay, Tony.
Yeah, well, I'll come back now. It was in the ninth inning, the eighth inning. We're one run ahead, and this fellow that came from the Philadelphia Phillies to Brooklyn, to New York, rather, went up to pinch hit, and he hit a triple. And it looks like he's going to be a score. So when Larry Benton went by me, I made a tag for when he slid in the third base. I made a tag for him, but I missed him. So when Larry walked by me, I said to him, "Stay off the rubber." And I didn't give him the baseball. I put the baseball in the palm of my hand and the glove over the baseball. And so I said, "Stay off the rubber, because if you get on the rubber without the ball, it's a balk." See, he scores, and sure enough, this fellow. I watched him, watch him. The thing was, Bill Terry wasn't the manager this day. I think it was Bert Schotten or one of his coaches who was an ex-major league manager, mm-hmm. was coaching third base. And I could watch the fella get off of that, and I went over there, and I slid in front of the bag. Mm-hmm. So he had to run into mm-hmm. me, and the umpire who was behind me, I don't remember who it was, but he said to me, "He's out if you got the ball." And I showed him the ball, and I can think of it. And sure enough, the next guy singled. Then we had a double play, and we win the ball game. See, the game's over. To me, I pray it comes in my
ball
mind.
Trick.
Yeah,
that's a long walk back to the dugout.
Oh, Jesus. and the other one now was Lou Boudreau. Lou Boudreau's managing Cleveland. I'm with the White Sox this time, and the night before he had. Father and Son's Affair, that he was the principal speaker. Mm-hmm. And the kids were asking questions and all like that. So finally one kid said to him, "Ball," he said, how about the hidden ball trick? He said, "Do they pull it off anymore?" He said, "No, they don't pull that off no more." He said, that's obsolete. So the next afternoon, in the ninth inning of the ball game, he is the winning run. He was the winning run, and he's on first base. The fellow singled to the right field and throws in to third base, and I'm playing third mm-hmm. in this particular game. And another fellow, I missed him on a tag, mm-hmm. and he slides safely into third base. This is when Muddy Rule was with him as a coach, mm-hmm. and Muddy is coaching third base at the time. He's safe. So Thornton Lee was our pitcher, and I said the same thing to him as I told the other fellow, mm-hmm. "Stay off the rubber. I got the ball in my palm of my hand." Talking about that, and sure enough, he went on the mound. He's had the rosin bag in his hand, and he's looking at the hitter. Mm-hmm. And Lou Boudreau, I could see him getting off the bag like that. And I said, sure enough, I went over there, did the same thing, got in front of the bag so he couldn't put his hand in there, and tagged him out. But gee, I felt so bad because opening day, and
you
I
felt bad.
Well, I mean, on account of Lou, who's a good friend of mine, see? And he had opening day first. He had to walk from third base all the way to the dugout, which is on the right field side.
What did he say afterwards to you?
Oh, no, long time later, he said, you know, in fact, he used to use it when he went to on TV in Chicago with the Cubs. Uh-huh. He used to use that story quite a bit.
Did he?
And
what did he say to you a few years later about that?
Well, he said, "Well, listen, it's quite a thing." He said, I use it a lot on the air. That way, uh-huh. I got something to talk about, he said. Those things come into my mind a lot, uh-huh. thinking about them, yeah. Uh-huh.
As a coach, is there any one player, pitcher, batter, fielder that you think that you nurtured along that really developed, took your advice, and improved a great deal? Can you think of any player or pitcher?
Well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say maybe I helped them that much. But we would talk to I would talk mostly to the infielders. Mm-hmm. We had Johnny Cooney would help the outfielders, and mm-hmm. Ray Berry's the catcher, mm-hmm. and Al worked with the pitchers. Mm-hmm. So, but you see a fellow maybe doing something every day that he shouldn't be doing. Maybe mm-hmm. coming up, raising his head a little bit, and mm-hmm. On a ground ball, which you shouldn't do. You should watch that ball go right into your glove mm-hmm. before you raise your head, your hands, and make your throw. Mm-hmm. So occasionally you'd watch a fellow, you'd take him aside and, mm-hmm. and be nice with him, and they appreciate what mm-hmm. what you're trying to help them or that. See, they used to tell you about, especially on ground ball, bend your back, get down low. What you do, you usually bend your knees is what you do. You don't bend your back. Bend your knees so you can get down low. See,
I like
that.
Bend my knees.
Yeah.
And play and get up on the ball of my feet.
Yeah, right.
You know, so you can move. If you get on the back, you can't. You're flat footed.
Well, you run and you get down low, and just as soon as you get, now you go get the ball. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way I
see. Yeah, see, you're bending your knees.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now,
others think you're bending your back that way, but no.
No,
you bend your knees. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, bring that rump down.
Right. That's right. Bring it down lowest
so you get
possible
your body
to the ground.
In front of the ball.
Yeah.
What do you miss most about baseball?
Well, that we don't have it on TV now.
Don't have it on TV?
No.
They
took the cable. Oh. We don't have cable here in my house. And they only have maybe one game a week.
Oh, okay. That's right. On the commercial.
On regular.
But, you know, you spent 15
years
player.
Well, before that, I used to see about 3 or 4 games a week, see?
Uh-huh.
Saturday, used to have this Saturday game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Friday night, they'd have a game.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday night, there'd be another game. And I enjoyed watching them.
Mm-hmm. Did you get out to any of the minor league games here in
Well,
St.
I used
Pete
to here in
Clearwater.
When Cincinnati had their baseball club here in Tampa. But they moved out of here and they tore the ballpark down. We don't have a team.
They have the St. Petersburg Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, but I don't like to travel way over there.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the reason. No. Well, if there's some special event, I'd go over there. But
you'd go to Lakeland.
Oh, that's spring training, just to see Jim Campbell and all like that. Yeah, fellows that I knew. I was with the Tigers.
Well, you think Tampa Bay Area is going to get an expansion or get another team?
I hope
Cleveland.
They do. I'd like
you
to see them
Cleveland?
Get it. Yeah. I was surprised they didn't get. This is a National League club here.
Well, I think maybe it was this way. They didn't want two National League clubs in Florida.
Well, that's what they claim, but I don't know whether
that's
just...
You think there's more to it than that, Tony?
I don't think that's the truth, no. I think that there was a money situation, I think, is what it was. They claim that the gang here couldn't get that $98 or $100 million
together. Well, altogether, startup cost would be about $135
million,
$140
million. Yes, now, but they claim Miami got it up real quick, and Denver was a cinch.
Yep, and they all want that part of the pie.
Denver is going to be a tough place to play.
Altitude.
Pitchers are going to moan because curveballs don't break like they do in St. Louis, and Chicago, New York.
That's right.
The high altitude, ball doesn't break. And I look for somebody to break Roger Maris's record of 61 home runs. If he's got any kind of power, balls fly out of the ballpark. We played in exhibition games against the Giants, the Cleveland Giants.
Mm-hmm.
We had fellows hit 600 feet home runs. Can you imagine 600 feet?
You're
ballpark.
Exaggerating, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I really mean that. The ballpark is, say, 350 feet left field, and then there's a building across the street, and they fly over the buildings. Oh, it's amazing the way the light air, the way the balls travel.
Mm-hmm. They never did that in minor league baseball, and they've had that all those years in Denver.
Well, I mean, see, like, you get a guy, say, like Dobie was with us. He hit some shots out there.
He'd muscle that ball.
Yeah, see, well, I mean, he hit home runs in other ballpark, but they'd be maybe 380 feet or maybe 400 feet. See?
Mm-hmm.
But these shots would be, I know, 500 or more feet.
Well, I don't think they're going to
make Al Rosen, he hit some home runs too over there. God. We had Vic Wirtz, had good power.
Yeah.
I wish you see those balls fly out of that ballpark. Well, the Giants, we played the Giants, they had some fellas that could hit the ball pretty good too. Willie Mays in particular.
Yeah.
He'd get a hold of the ball and he'd say, as soon as he hit the ball, he'd say, goodbye, it's gone. You know it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just by the sound of the bat.
Yeah.
Well, that's been an interesting prediction. See, in a couple of years, what kind of...
If they got anybody out there on the ball club that has any kind of power at all, you don't have to be Willie Mays or Dobie or that.
Luke Easter or
anything. No,
those guys.
Just an ordinary, ordinary good hitter. They'll get a ball in the air. It'll travel 340 or 50 feet easy, and it's a home run.
Yeah, because you're 5,200 feet elevation.
Yeah, that's right. It's mile high. Yeah.
And the players might have some problem coming in there, playing a game right away because you feel kind of weak.
See, in a pitcher's moment, because the curveball doesn't break.
Well,
there's nothing. No,
as well as
no humidity against the curve.
It takes about a day and a half to get used to the altitude.
Yeah. The club there, they'll get used to it quicker than the visiting club.
That's
yeah.
Right. So they'll have that kind of advantage.
So I can remember, say, we were with Boston. And we used to take a road trip. We'd open up in St. Louis. When we get to St. Louis, the temperature there would be about 100 on a ball field. they were playing maybe 2 weeks there, and we just come in. We just couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
First thing you know, the fourth or fifth inning, we're behind five or six, seven runs right quick. Yeah. By the time you're getting ready to play good ball, you got to move.
Yeah, the game's over.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting on that prediction. I'll look for that.
I'd like to know, like to see what players they get. But I'll tell you what, the players that are going to fill in for this expansion team, it's going to be sorrowful players.
Yeah.
They're going to get the worst of every club.
Yep, that's right.
It's a shame.
Let alone if there's enough talent to spread around for two more teams.
Yeah. Well, they got to get the players from them. I'd say to go to the minor leagues then.
Well, that's right. They'll have to.
Yeah.
You know,
each club has got to give so many
players. You know, like you and your ball players, your days, you spent 5 years in the minor leagues before you went to the majors.
Yeah.
Today, a lot of them maybe 2 years.
You know, and they're up.
And they learn the basics in the major leagues.
Oh, it's a shame. A fellow, say right now in the big leagues, hitting 220, 230, 240, making $800,000 a year. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Woo. Well, a rookie has to make, the minimum is
$100,000 now, yeah.
You have to make
minimum
that.
Salary, yeah. Isn't that something?
I wonder if you and I could go back. You think they'd want us?
That's why I said he's born too early.
Born too early.
I got new knees now, but I'd have to get new legs.
Okay. Tony, Clara, I want to thank you for spending some time in this interview. I know we have gone.
Gee, I only hope that I spoke loud enough. My voice is not very good.
It will be. It will be very well. I just, you know, you have any other thoughts? Is something for the record as this is going up to the Baseball Hall of Fame that we didn't touch upon?
What do they do with that? Do they use it up there?
Well, they're going to have it part for historical purposes, and I think they want to put some, you know, like you do in museums where you can buy
earphones.
Some of the stories, you know, like that surveyor's scope out there. And
yes, I wrote the note to Bill Guilfoyle. I said, after at the end, I said, do you think this will get me a chance to get in the hall?
Well, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, Tony.
Yeah.
I hope.
I don't vote on this, but one way or another, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame.
We've been waiting anxiously.
Oh, gee.
But,
he deserves it.
Yeah. So, I know that we could have another conversation on other things that will come to your mind. And on behalf of the Baseball Hall of Fame, I want to thank you and Clara for sharing a couple of hours with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Dan. I sure appreciate it. My very, pleasure. Very much.
My pleasure.